You are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the Podcast Network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, November 3rd, 2010. This is episode 156, Microphones, Janet Jackson, and Milk. Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Wells Tech Podcast. This is one of your two regular hosts, Martin Spriggs. I work for the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, or Wells, as we know and love it. And joining me, as usual, another Wellser, is Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. And I work for the Wells in the tech capital of Wells, Sleepy Eye, Minnesota. So
self-proclaimed, but
yes,
valid nonetheless. And we're going to prove that today, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Sleepy Eye's got it going on. We're doing all kinds of cool stuff out here. Mm-hmm.
Those of you that don't know where Sleepy Eye is, it is the suburb of New Ulm, Minnesota, so to speak.
Or
is New Ulm the suburb of Sleepy
Eye?
Yeah, yes.
That's right.
Yes. So how's it been this past week?
Great.
You probably got to settle back in after kind of an exciting week last week with Teachers Conference. So.
That's right. And you were at Teachers Conference there in Wisconsin this past week. Mm-hmm. And how did that go?
Awesome. We had some great workshops. I did two, as I think I mentioned in last week's show. We did one on the efficient school office and had lots of interested administrator types, I guess, is who the makeup was of that particular class. People interested in knowing, you know, how technology can help make that office a little bit more efficient, which was a nice tie-in with the series that we've been running here on the Wells Tech Podcast for the church and school office focus. And the second one was on taking your website to the next level. So we got to talk about all kinds of cool things. About how to use video and spruce up your images and all kinds of tips with typography and white space or negative space, all kinds of tools that we were able to put together. So I had fun doing it. And this one's a close one. I don't have to travel, so no hotel. It's, you know, five minutes down the road at Wisconsin Lutheran High School, so just around the corner from the Senate office here, so that makes it enjoyable too. And it was also nice this week, this time, because my wife attended for the first time. She's back in the classroom, and so she was in attendance there, and that was kind of cool. She didn't take any of my classes. I didn't. That's not so bad. In fact, I encouraged her not to, because she can get all that stuff at home. So it was
well,
good.
I'm hoping that maybe you'll have some resources to share with us at some point in the future from those presentations.
And this show has really helped, and you've probably, I think, have seen this too as you're working through different presentations, that, you know, a lot of the tools that we talk about are we're sharing on that level as well. And, you know, when people like Gail come on or we have some community feedback talking about different tools, those make their way into to information we pass along as well. So that's been real helpful to me.
Yeah, I know when I met with the teachers in my presentation, I encouraged them not to get overwhelmed that mm-hmm. everything was archived online. And if they just picked one or two to try, that would be more than enough to get them started down the pathway of using more technology to enhance
yep.
their ministry. Mm-hmm. So, and there's always opportunity to go back and dig deeper and access the resources online again.
Yeah.
So
I really fell in love with DIGO, you know, in prep for this conference. I've used it for maybe the last 6 to 8 months, something like that, you know, just storing links and things for this show, even, which is where I store a lot of the stuff that comes up on the show. And it's kind of a delicious look-alike, although I think it's got delicious in a number of different ways. And so what I did was just created a whole long list of resources that I never even had hoped to kind of get through during the hour-long presentations that I had. But you can create public lists which was really cool, and in the order and that I presented, and by section. So I kind of divvied up my presentation into four different chapters or sections, and DIGO will let you do that too. So I just published the public list, and they don't even need a DIGO account. They can just go to the public link I put out there, and paper-free or paperless approach. And I think they enjoy that, because you can also annotate, of course, with DIGO and add descriptions to your link. So it's, even if you miss the class, you can go through the list and get something out of it. So
true confessions here. I'm a delicious girl, not a DIGO girl. But I sense a podcast in my future where you're going to unveil the powers of DIGO for us. So
yeah, I probably would have some support, too. I know that one of our frequent contributors, Jason Schmidt, is a big DIGO user. And I think Gail is, too. So we've got you outnumbered.
Yeah, you do. So you have to convert me, but I'm gonna be a hard sell. You're gonna have to convince me of all this power you've found.
Well, as we advertised last week, we were going to spend a little time in the tech capital of Wells, Sleepy Eye, talking about some things that you've recently implemented in your, I would call your church, what, a medium-sized, you know, Wells congregation, right? Mm-hmm. Fairly traditional. I think the architecture of the church is very traditional, so you have that to deal with as you're working with technology. But you've made some improvements there.
We have, and part of the improvements was kind of brought to the forefront because there have been changes in the regulations around wireless microphones. Mm-hmm. And in addition to those changes, our wireless microphone system was aging itself out. It was having a lot of static and a lot of issues, as well as being on the wrong frequency. And maybe you can explain a little bit around those FCC changes that were implemented this year,
Martin. So your microphone was in that 700 megahertz range.
It was.
Really? Yeah. Okay. And that's not too uncommon. And this was a new FCC regulation that came through this summer. And I've blogged about it. I sent out a direct email to all call workers on this topic as well, that on June 12th, the FCC regulation that prohibited 700 megahertz frequency wireless equipment went into effect. That band or that range there is being taken over, and they want to clear that for emergency channels and a few other things. So they don't want any interruptions in that band or that bandwidth by some of these devices that were ultimately not supposed to be in that area in the first place, although the laws were a little bit looser. So what's happened is they've tightened this up, and there might be some equipment sitting out in many churches or schools that are in violation now. Not that necessarily the FCC is going to come knocking on your door, but that could cause some issues with your...
Even in the tech capital of Sleepy Eye, I don't think the FCC was real concerned.
Right.
So.
But you always want to be legal, and as you mentioned, it's probably a good idea to be compliant. Actually, Verizon bought that frequency or that band, and therefore they own it and are going to use it, obviously, for their purposes. So what that means is if you have something in that frequency, if you have equipment that's using the 700 megahertz band, you need to take some action, which is apparently what you did, Sally.
We did, but we were kind of faced with a dilemma of what exactly to buy to replace our wireless microphone system. And it's a big investment. And you want to make the right decisions, and you're hoping that this equipment will last you for many years into the future.
Yep.
One of our goals was to improve the quality, obviously, for the pastor. We struggle with the lapel type mics. Mm-hmm. If he turns his head or if he bows his head, just getting different kind of quality coming through the sound system. And so we made the decision that we wanted to go with an ear set microphone. And it's one of the ones that's kind of tan colored, so
yeah, like Britney
really
Spears style.
Yeah, exactly. I called him Janet Jackson, so okay. I guess I'm from a different era than
yes.
you, but anyway, he laughed and said, you know, it people don't even see it, especially if they aren't sitting in the front. And I don't know about your congregation, Martin, but in our Wells congregation, people don't generally sit in the front. So nobody can see it from where they're sitting. But anyway, it is really tiny, and it picks up very, very well. But we knew we needed multiple microphones. Obviously, we have guests liturgists or pastors at times where we need to have two people mic'd, or there's other circumstances, for instance, our confirmation examination service where the kids tend to pass a microphone as they're answering the questions, that kind of thing. And so we were looking for some versatility there. And so we did buy one of the ear set mics, and I'll have a link in the show notes to the one we purchased. But we also purchased our receiver and a couple of other microphones directly from the company Shure, S-H-U-R-E.
Good name and microphones,
Yeah, we got two receivers. We got one lapel mic and one wireless handheld microphone. And so between those three different microphones with two receivers, we think we can kind of cover most all scenarios of using the microphone for various purposes.
So if you have a guest preacher in, or you've got a liturgist or worship leader and a preacher, they can both have one. One can have the wireless, one can have the over-the-ear.
Right. They're both wireless. One is a lapel mic, and one is,
So you don't have any stationary mics at this point?
We don't. We have the capability. We have one at the pulpit and one at the lectern that we can turn on if we want to use those.
Okay, so they're hooked in too.
Okay, yeah.
Good.
We have those turned off. And then with the handheld microphone, which looks more like a traditional microphone, but it's wireless, then, like I said, the kids can pass that, or if we host an LWMS rally or whatever, people that don't typically wear, you know, the microphone packs or whatever, aren't real comfortable with that, they can easily hold the handheld microphone in those cases. So hopefully we kind of covered all the bases. We didn't buy three receivers, only two. But we did, you know, spend a good amount of money. We didn't go cheap on this. We wanted to make sure we were investing in quality equipment, and hopefully, like I said, covering all the different possibilities with what we might need the microphone system for.
And so did you get a new soundboard as well? Or do you have that already?
We had the soundboard equipment, so we're just plugging into what we already had.
That's good.
Did a little bit of adjustments. It's kind of awkward because I'm oftentimes the one behind the camera running the video on Sunday morning, and the camera's in one location and the soundboard's in another. So I got the video started. The pastor said his first words with the brand new microphones, and I jumped and ran to the soundboard. it was really fun, but we got it all adjusted, and everybody's really happy with the sound quality. We have a lot of deaf and hard of hearing people in our congregation, as it turns out, and so they were really appreciative of the improvements. They said it was crystal clear.
Good. So overall, with the new mics, what kind of price range are you talking there?
I want to say we spent around $2,000, but I don't have the exact numbers in front of me.
Okay, and that got you the three mics and two receivers.
Right. Okay. Exactly. So, and then a separate little project we had going, and this was just kind of the brainchild of our maintenance committee chairman. He actually got some opaque Mylar from an architecture firm that was getting rid of it. And he had someone design a frame to frame it out. It's about 3 feet by 5 feet, so kind of a widescreen look. And then they designed a system where it just easily hooks into a hook in the front of the congregation in the altar area. And so quick set up and take down if you don't want to have it up for the entire service. And with a projector, they're able to use rear projection on the screen, and it projects just beautifully. So this really cheap do-it-yourself kind of alternative for a rear projection screen has worked well for us.
So do you have the projector mounted in the rear permanently, or do you have to set that up?
We don't. We built a little case for it, a cabinet kind of thing that holds the DVD player and then the projector as well. And we use it primarily for our Wells Connection videos at this point. But with the what we were doing previously, we were wheeling a television up to the front of the church. And we needed the closed captioning. As I said before, we have a lot of people that are deaf or hard of hearing. And the closed captioning doesn't work real great unless you're in a widescreen kind of mode. It goes right to the edge or even a little bit over the edge of a normal dimension television. So people were really happy with that fact. We used our second wireless mic and hooked it directly into the sound coming out of the DVD system. So we're able to get the sound through the sound system as opposed to coming out of the speakers of the television and maybe laying a microphone there to try and pick it up a little bit or whatever. So that was a huge improvement to get that sound pipe through the sound system. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, having the widescreen and projected aspect ratio, it just really, it was really impressive. I don't have any video or pictures with projection on the screen, but I do have some photos to share of the screen and how it's mounted in the front of the church.
Very good. That sounds like you have had a busy couple months, probably.
Yeah, it turned out for the best. We just debuted it 2 weeks ago, and everybody was really pleased with the results. The sound and the projection turned out to be a really good addition.
So you're living, Sleepy Eye is living up to its name as the Wells Tech Capital of the World.
Absolutely. Okay. Don't want to disappoint.
Very good.
All right. We also wanted to just kind of loop this conversation into tech planning in general, especially since we had an interesting email. And I'm clicking on those notes right now.
From Mark Salswedel, yes.
Yeah,
that's
this
the one
is
you're referring to.
A member of Christ in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, and they basically have formed a technology committee and are looking at all different aspects of technology usage. And many of those things that we were just discussing doing in Sleepy Eye, those are topics for all different congregations.
Yeah, they're hitting all the tech hot buttons here. You know, worship, so AV during the service, recording, online distribution. They're talking about online Bible classes, social networking, outreach, internet outreach, electronic signs, a whole bunch of stuff that they've got, very ambitious, that they've got in their plan, and we're just looking for some reaction, and I think we'll maybe post this as well, but we've got some answers for them, right, Sally?
Yeah, I think it's a really excellent opportunity to kind of look back at the different resources we have been gathering over the time that we've been doing the podcast, and particularly want to send Mark and the folks in Eden Prairie to our Wells Tech Wiki, because we do have a lot of captured information there. Everything from presentation software, projectors, video camera recommendations. They talked about possibly getting some remote control cameras. And I know we have some information out there on what the Synod uses for their remote control camera system. And also how to do streaming and resources related to doing online streaming of video. That's something we do here in Sleepy Eye, and it's super easy and free to get started with that. If you have a website to plunk some code onto, you can have a stream going of your services very easily. So definitely want to share those links with Mark. As in regard to internet outreach, they were looking at the possibility of using Twitter, of all things. Imagine that, Martin.
There are a lot of different resources that are emerging. There's even kind of free PDF documents that are out there for Twitter for churches, and we even have, let me pull this up here.
It's a blog post.
A blog post from yours truly. This was way back in March, entitled "Is There a Place for Twitter in Your Church?" So I just kind of go through. What do I have? Seven different ideas or maybe potential uses for Twitter in a congregation. So take a look at that, and I think that I think definitely there is a use for it. It will certainly depend on circumstance and situation, but it's definitely in the, you know, I think it's in the realm of possibility.
You mentioned that they were considering working with their outside sign, their outdoor sign, to make it more electronic, have maybe an LED area where they can post things that scroll or whatever. And we do have a sign company recommendation. It's Stubblefield & Sons out of Lake Mills, Wisconsin. You're familiar with them, Martin?
Yeah, I think they're either Wells or Ells. I'm not sure which, but I've talked with them in the past, and I know that they've worked with local congregations to get some signage up. So
that'll be somebody to at least make contact with, potentially.
For sure.
And then finally, he talked about just having more of an internet focus, you know, possibly the pastor starting a blog, looking at the possibility of Facebook pages and things like that. And we have in the past interviewed a blogging pastor or two. So we'll have some links to share with Mark and others who are interested in that avenue. particularly with Pastor Jeremiah Gumm, who's out in Liverpool, New York. He joined us this summer and talked about his blogging activities and the response to it. It was a very interesting interview. And then we also have resources on the Wells Tech Wiki related to Facebook pages and how to get started with those. And some more resources coming up a little bit later on in this podcast on that particular topic. So
very good. So ask and you shall receive. So we've hopefully got some resources there. And if anybody else wants to take a look at those questions and react to Mark's technology plans, I think that would be certainly much appreciated by him and by us so that we can share with everybody else.
So I guess that kind of wraps up our discussion time. Maybe we should move on into ministry resources.
Sounds like a good idea. So what do we have for ministry resources we can share with folks?
Well, first up, I think you got this link, Martin, to a group of Wells churches that are posting video on the website Vimeo, Vimeo.com. This is a web hosting video service similar to YouTube, but maybe a little bit cleaner and more reliable. And many congregations are using it now to post their archived sermon video, that kind of thing. And what someone's done, I'm not quite sure who's behind the organization of this group, is that they've created a group where if you're a Wells congregation, you can join it, and then people can go to this and see a mixture of all the videos that are posted by different Wells congregations. Currently, there are four congregations participating. St. Paul's, and I don't know where they're located. One of them's Bethlehem in Manassas, Virginia.
And I think they are kind of behind this, is my sense.
Okay. And then three others. But if you're out on Vimeo, then perhaps you want to become part of this group as well. And if you are looking for some great sermon videos and other resources posted by Wells churches, then you'll want to check out this group page on Vimeo.
Yep, the St. Paul's is in Bangor, Wisconsin.
Okay.
So, yep, so that's free to join and probably a good way to get some visibility to your videos. If you are doing videos, just another outlet. It's easy to join a Vimeo group, so you just need the account. Accounts are free. And I think the number of churches using services like Vimeo are growing every week, so that's kind of nice to see that churches are kind of figuring out that that's not a bad thing to get their videos up there, especially for prospects to take a look at. Other ministry resources. One is I want to share with everybody that I've continued or have added part two to my Facebook for Churches journey. As I mentioned a few weeks back, our congregation is rolling out a Facebook page and trying to figure out how best to use it. And what I shared with everybody on my last blog post was a little insert, you know, that I put together to advertise the fact that we are rolling out a Facebook page. We've kind of coupled it with a Through the Bible in 1 Year program that I've called Join the Journey. And the flip side is the Facebook advertisement. So if you want to take a look at how we did it as far as advertising is concerned, take a look at that blog post, which we'll have in the show notes.
And I think that might make us jump right into news and tech, which is a Facebook topic as well posted there. Martin, you found an article on church on Facebook, and this is actually a church that's literally streaming their video via Facebook.
Yep. And I think this has been around a while, but now you have the ability, at least I think it's becoming more useful. I think they've added some new features here where you can actually, you know, point your people to Facebook for streaming video. So there's a nice blog post on the Leadership Network, leadnet.org, that shows a church or two that are using Facebook to stream their services. So if that's something that you are doing and you want to leverage your Facebook investment, that might not be a bad choice.
I just I'm like a kid in a candy shop. I look at this stuff and I just am amazed. I don't think there's anything more new that they can come up with, and then they do. So that's kind of why I tagged this next article as a news in tech, and it's not really ministry related, but I thought it was interesting. eBay is now making it easier for friends and relatives to chip in on gifts. An article I read in the USA Today this week, and basically what they're doing is collaborative gift giving via Facebook, of all things. So they're tying in eBay and Facebook and PayPal together. Mm-hmm. So people, maybe a couple requested a big screen TV for a wedding gift, and multiple people can chip in to give them that gift or whatever. And again, not a super obvious ministry connection there, but what does the future hold as more and more social network components are added to things that hadn't been social before? You know, perhaps people will collaborate on some type of church project or church fundraising or something to that effect via these same kind of techniques in the future. So interesting changes in our the way we're doing things.
All right. Thank you, Sally. Good stuff. We had a lot of stuff in Ministry Resources and News and Tech. Let's move on to our usual segment called Picks of the Week. What is your pick this week, Sally?
One of my favorite segments, and I'm going to point people to yttm.tv, and that sounds for YouTube Time Machine.tv. Mm-hmm. And basically what it is that people have taken YouTube videos and associated different dates in history with the videos. So if it's an old commercial or old video from when Teddy Roosevelt was president or something like that, they've associated dates and time. You can kind of scroll through the timeline starting at 1860. There's some video posted on YouTube from 1860. Not quite sure what that is, but in 1893, there's one from a blacksmith shop where somebody's doing blacksmith work. So
they had YouTube in 1893?
They have video posted on YouTube from 1893. So, and it goes all the way through. I found one from 1965 done by IBM where they're kind of explaining the computer and what it's good for in our lives and that kind of thing. So an interesting kind of trip through history to look at the YouTube Time Machine. They've organized it by, obviously, by the year that the video was produced, but also by different categories like TV or commercials or sports, music, movies, that kind of thing. And you know, maybe there's a classroom
application. I was thinking there is a classroom app.
Or if you're just looking to turn back time and demonstrate some concept in Bible class or with any kind of projects that you're working on, this might be a useful resource for you to tuck away. So that's the YouTube Time Machine.
Very good. YTTM.TV. Is this something that YouTube has put together, or this is just kind of a mashup using YouTube?
I think it is just a mashup, and it actually I believe when I was digging on the site, it said, you know, add your own date-sensitive videos. You know, if you know of a video on YouTube that fits a particular time period, then let us know about it and stuff. So I think you can contribute to the Time Machine.
Got it. Very nice. All right. My tip of the or pick of the week is a Web 2.0 tool, which has actually been referenced on the show. I did a quick search, and we talked about it way back in 08. I think I've referenced it other times as well, but I've just kind of latched on to it a little bit more recently, and that's a product called Remember the Milk. And just as the name might suggest, it is a productivity task management kind of tool. And the reason that I began to use it, and this was just a month or so ago, is that I was looking for something that would better sync with my Outlook tasks, which is where I keep most of my tasks. It has a good task engine, but it doesn't have a good online component. So Remember the Milk just recently launched a syncing tool for free that will allow my Outlook to sync with the cloud, and Remember the Milk is one of the best, at least in my opinion, task management tools. So you have online task management, syncing with Outlook, as I mentioned. There are Gmail and Gcal apps. In fact, there are all kinds of apps, but those work with the Google tools so that you can have task management right within your Gmail or your GCal. Very friendly with GTD, which we've talked about in the past, getting things done, which is more context or list oriented. You can email tasks to an email address that you get. It works with iCal for those of you that are on the Mac. Has smartphone apps, so if you have Android or iPhone or iPod Touch app capabilities, you can download an app. Now that does require a premium membership, which I think is like $12
a year,
$25 bucks a year, something like that.
So.
Yeah, it's something in there. Although if you don't want to do that and you just have a regular smartphone, you can go to a mobile Remember the Milk site and it works real well as well. So there's no absolute necessity to get the premium version. You don't really gain that much in the online experience. Two of the reasons I like this is it syncs automatically, which is great with my Outlook. So it keeps everything in sync. So I've always got my tasks with me when I'm on the road. But it's also a great way to coordinate personal and professional tasks, because I sometimes will pull tasks out of my Gmail, which is what I use for personal email. And what I had to do before was kind of forward those to my work email address and then throw those into my Outlook tasks. This way I can just use the tools that are available within Gmail, throw them onto Remember the Milk, and it automatically syncs back and forth. So quite a bit of time saving for me, and it coordinates things. It'll send you reminders. Nice interface. They've done a nice job. It's a maturing product, and all for the right price, which is free. So all kinds of other stuff there about location-based stuff and contacts management, but I think just a good general-purpose task manager. So if somebody's in the market for something like that that would sync with probably whatever you've got, I think there's probably plugins for the other email tools, Thunderbird, and those kinds of things as well. RememberTheMilk.com.
I had to smile, Martin, because I found myself using my contacts list Saturday night at 10 o'clock all times. But you can be productive just about any time, anywhere.
My son
was in the school play this week, and they had their after play cast party by going to Perkins restaurant and having a treat at Perkins after the play. And so mom is waiting around. He's not old enough to drive himself, so I'm hanging out at Perkins, which happens to have a wireless network. So that made me happy. And boy, I got a few emails done and different things taken care of that I could check off my list. So that productivity stuff really does work. When you're organized with it, then you can pull up those contacts list and, make use of your time that way.
Away you go.
Yep.
All right. We do want to share with our listeners that there is an upcoming streaming event on November 12th. Up in Manitowoc, there will be I think this is semi-annual, so every other year they have two regional choral fests. So all the Erie Lutheran High Schools and the two prep schools get involved, and about 20 schools all together, where they come together and they have performances. So on November 12th at 7 o'clock Central Time, there'll be a Pops concert of sorts, so each school does their routines. There's singing, dancing, those kinds of things. This is all at Manitowoc Lutheran in this area, which is going to be streamed. And then on Sunday, November 14th at 2 o'clock Central Time, there is a joint sacred concert. So tune in for that. The link for that is, wells.net/streams/live. And you can tune in to watch that presentation. This will not be archived, so you can't, if you're not at your computer at 7 o'clock on the 12th or 2 o'clock on the 14th, you probably won't be able to see this. So mark that on your calendars and tune in.
Very good. Looking forward to those great concerts. They're always a treat.
I really enjoy those, yeah.
Very good.
Let's move on to community feedback, Sally.
Well, we had a comment on our Facebook group page from Jimmy Hollab. If I could just put that out. I'm having trouble this morning, apparently. Jimmy wrote to us to tell us about two of his favorite pieces of open source free software. One is called Inkscape, And he uses it for logo creation. It's actually a vector drawing tool. And then he also mentioned OpenOffice, which is open source office software comparable to Microsoft Office. And I think we've probably touched on these both in the past, but a good reminder for us. I would love to see any logos that people are creating with Inkscape, because I think that is exciting to think that we could create our own. I'm not quite sure if I have the artistic ability to do it, but it's certainly the software is there for us to make use of for logo creation.
Yeah, these are both, you know, pretty solid tools. OpenOffice has been around for quite some time, pretty mature product at this point. And I know that a number of schools and churches are actually using OpenOffice for their day-to-day office suite stuff. So good suggestion.
Yep. Next up was a question that actually came from your activity at the teachers' conference, Martin.
Yeah, after I forget which session it was, probably after the school office efficiency talk that I had, a couple people came up to me and were wondering if I had any recommendations on before or after school program or care program applications that would do check-in, check-out, billing, that kind of stuff for those people who manage the those programs, the before and after school programs. And we had way back in episode 82 now, and I don't even know what year that would be, 09 probably sometime, we did interview somebody from ProCare Software, where they have a product for child care management. And so that would be an option, although the question that I fielded at the teachers' conference was, you know, all these programs are so expensive, and ProCare is not exactly cheap either, although it depends on, you know, how things are structured and what modules you purchase. But I didn't have any great ideas, so I launched a question out to the listserv, and we got a number of pieces of feedback from the listserv.
Yep, we heard from our friend Jason Schmidt, and he wrote that he thought a Google Form / Google Spreadsheet might be able to help out. And
you could
save the form as a template and add billing periods and things like that. So it would take some experimentation and some work to come up with a solution like that. But, you know, it would be out in the cloud, you know, accessible from anywhere. So it sounds like it might be a good solution.
I would see, I could see a form, you know, forms being easily developed for at least the check-in, check-out. Then the whole billing side would be a little bit more of a challenge. But yeah, I think the tools, you know, are probably there to at least get you part of the way there. And then we also heard from Andy Ognanoff, who we've talked to in the past as well about different computing topics. And the recommendation there was a tool that I'm semi-familiar with. Salesforce.com has a free product called Force.com, which is a kind of an online relational database management tool where you can build apps. Salesforce.com is a huge company at this point that integrates with almost everything. You can build custom apps online. Force.com, I played around a little bit with over the past week. Once I get Andy's email, and it is very powerful. It is fairly sophisticated, so I would say your average preschool or your average daycare director is not going to be able to actually put this together. But I think
maybe with their preschooler's help, is that what you're thinking?
Maybe right. I think it might be a little over their head too. It took me a while to kind of get used to the interface, but somebody who's comfortable with it, I think, could easily whip up something that would work pretty well, because it does have tools that I think would create invoices and PDFs and workflows and those kinds of things. Very sophisticated app. So I think that's a great suggestion. Yeah.
You said free, but it's free to a certain extent. So it may end up being a fee-based product if you use it very much. Or
well, you're limited to one app is the way it works. And the one app could be this app, which has up to 100 users. Those are your limitations, which I think for most organizations that would be fine if that's what you wanted to do. You couldn't create more than the one, you know, the one app, of course. And I think I want to say you're limited to 8 or 10 what they call objects, which are, you could equate them to, I think, tables, so to speak. So
okay.
You'd have a child table, and you'd have an organization table, and you'd have a billing table, you know, those kinds of things.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It
so
would take
it's
some
worth
brain
trial.
Work, huh?
Mm-hmm. But I'm glad Andy brought it up, because I think this is an area that we're going to see more development in, and tools like this that make it easy to develop online applications are definitely here to stay.
And lastly, we heard from Laura Kameen, who is at Eastside Lutheran in Madison, and she's actually using a rather extensive Excel spreadsheet product that I guess they've developed internally. They tried different solutions and kind of came around to using Excel and set up the spreadsheets to do calculations for them and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she says they've been using it for 7 years, and it's easy and works for them very well. And she actually shared examples of their spreadsheet, which I believe we'll be able to post out on the Wells Tech Wiki for people to download if they want to take a look at what Eastside is using.
Yeah, it's certainly logical and makes sense. I think it would be easy for any volunteer to work with as well. What strikes me, and I didn't play with it a lot, but just in looking at it a little bit before the show here, is that it would require some pretty significant setup at the beginning of the year, because you're hard coding dates in there. You know, each week has a tab of its own and those kinds of things. But I think once you've got that set up, it's probably very easy to maintain from week to week. So maybe worth a look.
Mm-hmm. So thank you to everyone who shared, and if there are others who are listening now that have a solution they're using for their child care billing and timekeeping, then we'd love to hear from you as well.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we heard from somebody that you know, Martin. Her name's Debbie. Debbie
yep.
Spriggs, that is.
That's right.
And she is your wife, and she's out there working hard and sharing some links with us as well. She came across the Tech and Learn site.
Yeah, techlearning.com is a site that she came across. I don't know if we've referenced this on the show in the past or not, but good stuff. And she found an article there on how to use an interactive whiteboard, just some tips and tricks, how it can be used, how maybe it would meet the needs of students maybe with special needs, talks about printing and saving notes, all kinds of good stuff there. And then she also came across, let's see.
Well, I just added a link that they actually do print out a paper magazine
oh, that's right.
that they
mm-hmm.
distribute for free, and you can subscribe to it on their website. That's how I became familiar with them. Just this fall, they sent a copy, a complimentary copy to our school, and so I made sure that I was subscribed because it's very well done.
Mm-hmm.
You can certainly get all the content online as well, but if you're interested in receiving their magazine, we'll include a link in the show notes to the subscription page for that as well.
Had you heard of this site before, Sally?
I have, and I think we've referenced maybe a couple of articles from there recently, but mainly because I got this paper magazine is how I found it in just this fall.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
They've got a whole, I think they're expanding the website, and they're recognizing the need to do that, but they've got all kinds of videos now, and you can do a search across all the videos that they've got, and it seems to be a good resource for teachers interested in integrating technology into the classroom.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, Martin, you shared a link to something to get us into the holiday spirit.
Yeah, and this actually came from my wife as well. Free ebooks, and one of those ebooks that is available through a link that we'll post on the site is A Christmas Carol. And that's actually one of our family traditions the last few years, as we've actually downloaded an audio book. But here's a free ebook if you want to make this available to students for a quick read-through. It's not a long book, of course, and the price is right. So you can download this. I believe it's, I want to say it's PDF.
Yep. And it's from Planet eBook, and they have a list of over 80 free eBooks that they have posted there.
Mostly the
classics.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I sent my son this link because he's got his Kindle. You know, we got to fill up that Kindle, so...
Yeah, so for instance, they have a one-page and two-page version of A Christmas Carol, and the one-page version is only 106 pages long, but they do a nice job with it. The formatting's really nice, easy to read, and you know, probably a very useful resource. That's it for community feedback, right?
That's right.
Okay, we would love to hear from you. So if you have things that you'd like us to discuss, consider, questions to answer, or you've got answers to our questions, please share those with us. You can email us at wellstech@wells.net or go to our website, wellstech.wells.net. Take a look at the show notes. There is a comment section at the bottom and all kinds of other ways. There's a Contact Us tab there on that page where you can send us a voicemail. You can join the listserv. Go to our Facebook page where we got one comment this past week. Facebook.com/WellsTech is the place to go for that, and we would love to hear from you. That's my favorite section, really, Sally.
Absolutely.
Okay, next week we go back to the book, which is the book, Leading 21st Century Schools. Those of you that were with us maybe 3 weeks ago, we interviewed one of the authors, a really neat conversation with her. And I'm looking forward to Chapter 3 because we are beginning to jump into some of the tools recommendations. We've been kind of talking about theory up to this point and standards. Now they begin to talk about some very practical things that you may want to consider if you are a teacher in a classroom and want to use technology and Web 2.0 tools especially. So tune in next week for Chapter 3. And if you're following along at home, you may want to read up ahead of time as well.
Looking forward to that discussion.
Me too. Let's close the show with the music of Crosswalk, Crosswalk Lutheran Ministries, the album of the same name. This is Jonathan Favorite, who is formerly of Corbin Creek, and now he's you know, taken his skills to Crosswalk out in Arizona, and their song, You Are My World, which is also a free download. If you go to our website, you can find the link there for Crosswalk music. Let's listen to You Are My World. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Has brought me down. I feel like I am lost and can't be found. And when I've given up, you're still around. You pull me up. Take this broken clay, restore it back to life, to work today. Because of all your goodness, I will say your name be praised. And in all of this you show, you are grace, you are love, you're an everlasting Savior. I am weak, but you are strong, and I will praise your name. That any of my works could ever mend a love for me so great, you chose to send your only son. Your love is full and free, and Jesus' sacrifice has covered me. You've given me a life eternally by grace alone. This I see, you are grace, you are love, you're an everlasting Savior. I am weak, but you are strong, and I will praise your name forever. You are grace, you are love, you're an everlasting Savior. You are strong, and I will praise your name forever. Praise your name forever. I am fighting. You are my world.